The ACLU comes to this issue with our work on racial justice and mass incarceration and the mass criminalization of our communities of color. All of you have in your packet a report that our office produced in October of this year. In this report, we talk about, as of 2010, the latest data available when we did our report, that Maryland has one of the highest rates of arrest for marijuana possession in the country. Our raw numbers of arrests outranked even more populous states like Ohio and Pennsylvania. And even though blacks and whites use marijuana at comparable rates across the board in every county, African Americans are arrested at higher rates than whites. So let's just take a quick trip around our state. In Washington County, African Americans make up less than one-tenth of the population, but more than a quarter of all marijuana possession arrests. In Montgomery County, African Americans are 18% of the population, but 46% of the possession rates. Baltimore County, 26% of the population, 44% of the arrests. Harford County, 13% of the population, 23% of the arrests. I could go through every county. The statistics are the same. These arrests have a devastating effect on the individuals involved and on the communities involved. In your packet, you have a story from a woman named Diamante Brown. Advanced degree in education, wanted to become a teacher. Her one and only run-in with law enforcement was for a marijuana possession arrest. She was told by the school that she wanted to work at that she could not be hired because of that one arrest. They would have hired her, but they couldn't because of that one arrest. She had to spend thousands of dollars and go to a class, even though she wasn't addicted, in order to get through that arrest and have a PBJ. Others have that same story. You will hear from them. They are tagged with a criminal record for the rest of their lives. Jobs, education, housing opportunities all become harder. The lifelong punishment of these people does not make sense for those who choose a substance that is objectively safer than alcohol. We support both of these bills for that reason, but we also support Senator Raskin's bill to tax and regulate because while we support the decrim bill, it doesn't go far enough. It leaves the criminal market there. It doesn't address the issue of our children. I'm a mom, as everybody else came up here and said, I don't want my kids to use drugs. I don't want them to use alcohol. I don't want them to use cigarettes. I have a 10-year-old. She said, Mommy, I'll wrap up. What are you doing in work today? And I kind of went, oh, what am I doing? But it was an honest conversation with her. Kids get it. Don't use them because it's not good for you. Just say no doesn't work. We've been able to reduce teen use of alcohol and drugs without arresting a single person. And the last thing I will say as I wrap up is that whether you agree with marijuana use or not, there are a lot of people in the state of Maryland that use marijuana. They look like you and me. I bet you know some of them. I didn't think I did, but I do. So we need to regulate it. We need to tax it. And I ask for your support on both of these bills. Thank you.
Senator Brochin has a question, followed by Senator Jacobs.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, sir. I'm with you on Senator Zirkin's bill, but I think you're normalizing the behavior and with Senator Raskin's bill. And when you normalize the behavior and you treat it like tobacco or you treat it like alcohol, you're introducing it to a lot of people that would have, maybe not even given a second thought. And now you're culturally saying as a society, this is fine. And when I say fine, you're equating it to tobacco and you're equating it to alcohol. And I'm not there.
I understand your concern, Senator Brochin, but I would put to you that there are a tremendous number of people that you know. There are business owners, from the small business owner to the multi-million-dollar golf-playing business tycoon who are using marijuana safely and responsibly, and that we have a public policy responsibility to them to make sure that what they are using is safe and that we get the tax and the regulation revenue from that. And the other thing that we've been able to do, as I mentioned, is a society with education to let kids know that this is not safe for them to use.
Yeah, but culturally you're saying that we're going to make it safe for you. because it might not have been safe with the drug dealer, but it's safe now.
I think that you can make a distinction between the government is saying this is something that you should do. The government doesn't say you should go out and smoke cigarettes. You should go out and drink alcohol. That's not the statement that the government makes. So there's a very different message that you're sending between making a system of taxation and regulation and saying you should go do it.
Well, they certainly have said that in Colorado and Washington. It's like it's a free-for-all. I mean, they can't open up enough places. They can't keep the pot in Colorado. There's so much demand, it's outstripped supply.
But with all due respect, it's not a free-for-all. It is a regulated market. And when you look and you see the lines of people who are going in to buy marijuana, there are no kids in those lines. So it is a regulated market, and studies have been shown. So Colorado went to a regulated market of medical in 2010. And what the studies showed is, first of all, that teen use, just from that regulated medical market, decreased during that time. And also that the impact on society of those medical dispensaries was no different than having coffee shops.
Final question, Mr. Chairman. Do you think there are people in Colorado and Washington State that are experimenting now and going to these places and buying marijuana if they've never been regular users before because it's so accessible now? Do you think there are some people of that subset of people that are doing that that have never really been into smoking marijuana, but now it's there, it's culturally available, it's culturally acceptable? Do you think there's a segment of society that's going in there and doing that now?
Sure.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Senator Jacobs, followed by Senator Muse and Senator Schenck.
Something that both you and the senator said regarding 658 in your introduction of it was, and by the way, kids, I don't want you to use this. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want my kids to use marijuana. But by bringing that up in the very beginning, it is as though you were stating that you understand that by legalizing marijuana, it's sending that message to kids that it's okay, but I don't want my kids to use it. And, you know, that's a conflicting message. I mean, I found it rather odd that in the beginning of an introduction to the bill, that was the message that you sent out, which will be the message that law enforcement uses against the bill.
Senator, there's a difference between saying that it's something for adults to use 21 and older and that we're not encouraging teen use. My message to my kids is the same that it is for things that are legal. I don't want you driving before you have had driver's education. I don't want you drinking alcohol before you are of age. It is part of my job as a parent to instill my values in my children.
That is
what I am saying to them, that until
you are an
adult.
I mean, I wouldn't want my kids to use it at 20, at 19, at 21.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously you're afraid that might be the message that's being put out there, or you wouldn't have brought it up.
No, what I'm trying to say is that I want people to understand that there's a distinction in this bill, that we are not saying
it
use.
Sound like, you know, that's going to be a problem with this bill, but I don't want my kids to do it. So thank you.
Sure.
Okay, Senator Muse.
Thank you very much, and welcome.
Thank you.
There's two things. I'm sitting and I'm thinking, I'm listening to both bills. And Senator Zirkin's bill, I think I get it in terms of looking at, one, the racial disparities. I was moved by your story relative to the young lady who wanted to become a teacher, but because that was on her record, she could not. And then I'm thinking, as I look at the arrest statistics, how many tens of thousands of persons whose lives are changed forever or who must go through all kinds of hurdles because of the marijuana arrest. But here's my question, because when I remember when Mayor Kirk Smoke many years ago when he said that we have to go into a different direction when it comes down to our legal approach to marijuana. And I'm between the two bills, and I'm asking myself, would we have gone far enough with Senator Zirkin's bill? And because No arrest records. No records. Would we have gone as far as we can go in terms of the problems that we are talking about relative to marijuana arrests with his bill as opposed to going the other step with my good friend, Senator Raskin's bill?
And I would submit to you that no, we wouldn't go far enough because you still have that underground market. Just a story. There was a teen from Middletown who went to buy marijuana. And so while this teen, if this teen had gotten stopped by law enforcement, would not have gotten an arrest on his record, he was shot. Because you still have people entering into that criminal arena to buy marijuana. And then the other thing I would say is, when you have that criminal market, you have people's introduction into the harder drugs. So it's not that marijuana is the gateway, it's that criminal element. I mean, there's an op-ed in the Baltimore Sun today where someone talks about he went to buy marijuana, and his drug dealer said, oh, I'm out, but why don't you try heroin today? And that's how he got addicted to heroin. So that's the gateway. If you remove marijuana from that system, you put it behind a counter, you regulate it, then you don't have access to those harder drugs.
Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Senator Schenck.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for your testimony, and I certainly appreciate where you're coming from. Of the two pieces of legislation, Senator Zirkin's bill that we heard last year is getting there for me, but I have to take issue with something that you said, and that I think we're going to hear other people say, because I checked the data. And you allege that we have not seen a commensurate increase in marijuana use among the youth in Colorado or Washington. And I'd like to refer you to some information that I've received. Apparently, the 10-year data for Colorado state suspensions for drug violations from 2003 to 2004 increased by 23%. So that's how many kids in Colorado systems from 04 to 13, that's the increase. And that's at about the same time that Colorado started experimenting with medical marijuana and now up to legalization. At the same time, the alcohol violations went from 1,252 to 714. So alcohol went down by 42%. So marijuana goes up by 23%. Alcohol goes down by 42%. So clearly it would seem to me that there are a lot more kids in Colorado since legalization and medical marijuana started that are at least getting caught in the schools. And the second piece of data, the high-intensity drug trafficking area is HIDTA, and we've had HIDTA briefings in here before. They track the 30-day data in terms of drug users. Incidence of marijuana use from ages 12 to 17 nationwide increased by 0.05% from 2004 to 2002. So it remained relatively stable. Whereas in Colorado, it increased by 4%. So this notion that somehow no one in these lines is our kids, I agree, because they can't. But clearly it would indicate to me from this data that kids are using at a higher rate in Colorado. And I've seen the data on the other side, and this is data, you know, that is reported by the Fed. So what would be your response to that?
Two things. As to your first point about alcohol use going up and marijuana use going – or alcohol use going down and marijuana use going up, thank you for making my point. Alcohol is regulated. It makes it harder for teens to get access to it. We have an education campaign on alcohol. We don't have that education campaign on marijuana. For the second point, what I was referring to is the CDC data for youth rate of marijuana.